We know that God hears everything that we say. He hears every prayer request that we make. But for some unknown reasons, some prayers are answered while other prayers are not. Why is that? Is God playing favorites? Does He love some people more than others? This morning in our text, Jesus is going to talk about that. He will tell us that it has nothing to do with God, but with the prayer or with the person praying. He is going to teach us this morning about unacceptable prayers. Please turn with me to our text, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, as we continue where we stopped last week. The theme of this chapter is prayer. And we will see four prayer requests in this chapter. The first from a poor woman for justice, financial need. The second from a sinful man for mercy, an emotional need. The third request from a rich man for salvation, a spiritual need. And the fourth one from a blind man for healing, a physical need. So prayer can be for financial, emotional, spiritual, or physical needs. We are going to learn a lot in this chapter. We will see that the first one went home gratified. The second one went home justified. We will see that the third one will go home traumatized, the poor rich man. And the fourth one will go home satisfied. So this chapter 18 is divided into three parts. Remember, the theme is prayer. The first part is unacceptable disposition, verses 1 to 14. Then we will see the unacceptable requisition, verses 15 to 30, and the unacceptable proposition, verses 31 to 43. And each part has two sections. The unacceptable disposition of the judge and then of the sinner. The unacceptable requisition to Jesus to refuse children and to the rich man to sell all of his possession. We will see that next week. And the unacceptable proposition to the disciples for Jesus to suffer and die, and also to the blind man for him to be quiet and not call on Jesus. So let's start with chapter 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. After talking about his second coming, Jesus began to teach his followers that instead of losing hearts because of these scary things, they should persevere in prayer. He, capital H, Jesus, spoke to them. Them who? Luke is always careful to tell us who Jesus was talking to, and we must be careful to follow Luke. In chapter 17, verse 22, Jesus started to talk to his disciples. In verse 37, the disciple asked him a question. Here in verse 1, he is still talking to the disciples, and in verse 9, he will be talking to some others than his disciples. Now, very seldom do we see a parable preceded by the intent of the parable. And today, we will see this twice. Here, and in verse 9, we have the intent of the parable before the story is given. In this one, the intent is to show that men ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus was talking about the conditions of the world at the time of His coming. And the conditions, He said, will get worse and worse. There will be times of perplexity with no way out. So He encouraged His disciples to pray and not lose heart. We today are living in a time filled with perplexities, issues with no way out, problems with no solution, like the huge deficit of this country, wars all around the world, inflation, unemployment problem, problem in our schools, problem with AIDS, problem with crime. And in seeing these things, the tendency is to faint, to lose heart. But Jesus is encouraging His people to pray and not give up hope. Some people get discouraged. They give up. They start drinking heavily. Others even commit suicide because there seem to be no answers to all their problems. People think that there is absolutely nothing that we can do, but that's wrong. Something can be done. Jesus said that we ought to pray. God is still in control. And Jesus is showing us here that prayer will be needed down to the very moment of His second coming. So He spoke a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. The Lord did not give the name of the city nor the name of the judge, with good reasons. That judge did not have any good characteristics of a judge. If anyone needs to fear God and regard man, it has to be judges. Every judge should be a God-fearing man and be concerned with man. This judge was nothing but a hateful egotist, a judge without any love for justice. This judge was not interested in the law. The first table of the law of God dealt with men's relationship with God. This guy was not interested in it. The second table of the law of God dealt with men's relationship with his fellow man, how to treat others. This guy was not interested in that either. The two go together. If a man does not fear God, he will not regard man. It is the fear of God that causes people to regard man. Unfortunately, it is the same for many judges today in our judicial system. Men sitting on the bench who neither fear God nor regard man. It's interesting that this also is a sign of the things happening just prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. I hope there's no judges here today. I won't be by the door. Many judges who do not fear God nor regard man have made some bad decisions in this country. And we see the result in the United States of removing God from our schools. Kids are raised. They grow up without the fear of God and they do not regard man either. Look at how they treat each other. Look at the crime in our schools. Kids going to school with guns and knives. Look at the problems with gangs. They do not fear God and neither do they regard man. People are producing children with no fear of God. When you remove God from people's lives, then what is the basis for good? Why be good? Who cares if I'm bad? When I'm dead, it's all over. There is then no basis for right or wrong. And they lose their sense of right and wrong. Oh, how we need to learn to fear God and teach our children to fear God. This man was a judge in a city and he did not fear God and he did not care for man. Now there was a widow in that city and she came to him saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." In the same city was a poor widow, and Jesus did not mention her name either. In the Eastern society, they were more exposed to injustices. Scriptures teach us that God protects the widows, and He asks people to show kindness to them. Somehow, someone did not show kindness to that widow and she had been unjustly treated and most likely financially. Maybe someone took the little that she had or someone prevented her from receiving what she was entitled to. No details are given by the Lord. So she went to the judge of her city hoping that he would see and would confirm her claim and give her justice. Even though in English it says here, "avenge me," she was not asking for vengeance. It's a poor translation. But she was simply asking for justice, for whatever was fair. And the judge flatly refused to have anything to do with her. She went home disappointed, knowing that her cause was just, and she tried again and again and again. And he would not for a while. He would not help her. But afterward, he said with it himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Because he was not concerned and did not care about her or her needs, he did not care what happened to her. So at first he would not do anything for her. He felt that it was her problem. Not fearing God, he could care less about this widow, her needs, or any injustices done to her. But the widow did not go away. She would not go away. She kept on coming back to him seeking justice. Look at him. Look at what he said within himself. "Though I do not fear God nor regard men," he deliberately admitted the wickedness of his character. He knew how he was. He did not care about God nor anybody else, just himself. And when a person does not regard God or man, that person is normally only interested in self. Process of elimination. Remove God, remove the others. Who do you got left? Just me. The Bible says that such an attitude is the basis for all conflicts and wars. People like that. Selfish people will start trouble. Selfish people are troublemakers. Somehow the judge knew that the widow's claim was just. Because he will do something. He will avenge her. Somehow he knew that she was right. She had a good case. But he also knew that she was unable to bribe him. And she had very little or no influence at all in the city. He did not really care for her or her problems, but she was getting to him, coming back to him all the time like a stone in a shoe. She was driving him crazy. He was getting sick and tired of her. Her persistence moved him to help her. She finally went home gratified. Took some time. She hung in there. She went back to see the man, brought her case over and over, and finally she was gratified. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." Jesus said to pay attention to what the unjust judge said. What did he say? He said, "Okay, I will do her justice because of her persistence. She won't quit. She'll be here again tomorrow and the next morning asking for justice. So I will do her justice to get rid of her. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Now this is where the parable is very often misunderstood. People make the judge representative of God, and they make the widow representative of the church praying to God. But we cannot in any way make this unjust judge a representative of God. God is not like that. He is just the opposite. God does regard men. He is interested in judgment and in justice. We saw the same thing earlier in another parable in chapter 11. A parable can illustrate a truth by comparison or by contrast. This parable, like the one that we saw in chapter 11, illustrating a truth by a sharp contrast, not by making a comparison. The unjust judge is not to be compared to God, but contrasted with God. People say this parable teaches us that we must keep on bugging God, and he is going to be weary, so tired of being bugged by us that he will give in and he will give us what we want. Wrong. It is not true. What Jesus is saying here is that even an unjust judge can be persuaded to do right, to do good by persistence. But God, who is not unjust, will do what is right and just with no problem. He delights in justice. What God demands is that his people persevere in opening their hearts to him. Keep on coming to him, to have a relationship with him. And we will see in the next verse that it has to do with faith. Jesus says in verse 8, "I tell you that he," capital H, God, "will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Here we see the sharp contrast. How will God avenge them speedily? Totally the opposite of the unjust judge. No need to keep on begging him or bugging him day and night, like the poor widow had to do with the unjust judge. God is aware of injustices going around today. He is interested in making things right. Our part is to pray to our Father, to come to him. And Jesus asked, will he find faith? Will there be faith that perseveres, as did the faith of the widow? The question is asked for the purpose not of speculation, but of self-examination. Let each one of us answer for ourselves. When the Lord comes, will He find faith on the earth? That's a personal question. Also, He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Again, the intent of the parable precedes the parable. Because some people trusted in themselves and were righteous in their own eyes and were despising others, the Lord addressed this parable to those people. Jesus was no longer talking to His disciples. There are many people today who trust in themselves for righteousness, believing that if they are good enough, God will accept them. Well, I got bad news for them. God will not accept anyone based on their goodness. He will only accept them on the basis of what Jesus did for them on the cross. And think about it for a moment. It is the ultimate pride to think that doing good can replace or be as good as the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Who do these people think they are? To think that they can save themselves, they can be accepted by God by doing good, as if the doing good was as good as Jesus being whipped, hurt, and dying on the cross for sin, the only way to be received and accepted by God. Whenever a person is self-righteous, there's something that goes with it. He will also despise others. These two go together. And this attitude affects prayers. And Jesus will give us a parable. It has two men, two prayers, and two results. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. They had three prayer meetings per day at the temple. 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. Here Jesus introduces two men in the temple who went there to pray. Number one, a Pharisee, a religious man, who trusted in himself, trusted in what he was doing for righteousness, and then a tax collector, an open sinner in the eyes of everybody, openly working for the enemy, the Roman government, making a living by collecting taxes for the government, sometimes even overcharging because they had the right to keep the excess. And the more they would charge more, the more they get to keep. Quite a difference between the two men. Both of them are going to pray at the same time. The Pharisee stood and prayed this way with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Jesus, knowing everything, tells us what each guy prayed within himself. And he starts with the religious man. He starts with the Pharisee. The man stood with his hands and his eyes uplifted, most likely as close to the front as possible to be seen by the others. And he mentioned those things that he did not do. I am not an extortioner, meaning that I do not cheat. Not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm not a thief like this tax collector there. and probably praying loud for others to hear him. Imagine how God must have loved this man's prayer. He was self-righteous. He was self-satisfied. He did not ask God for anything. He was judgmental of others. He despised the tax collector, and he did not even pray for him. He did not ask God for help. He had no need of help. He was just happy that he was better than other guys in the temple. That made him feel good. This man was filled with pride. God is much more interested with the attitude of the heart than with outward actions. One may look right on. One may act right on and yet have a wicked heart filled with corruption. The Pharisee acted right. No one could come and accuse this man of doing anything wrong. He was not cheating anyone. He had not taken anyone else's wife. His record was clear, but he was filled with pride, and he was self-righteous, and he was judgmental of others. To God, that is unacceptable. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. After mentioning what he was not doing, he then mentioned the things that he did. Two things. Number one, he was fasting twice a week. He did not have to. Leviticus 16:29 said that he had to only once a year, on the Day of Atonement. But he would do it twice a week. And most likely, those people did it on Mondays and Thursdays. They were market days. A lot of people outside. And when they fasted, they would put some stuff on them to be recognized as they're fasting today. Oh my. To be seen by men. To be seen that they may see how righteous the man was. So he was fasting twice a week. He was paying tithes of all he possessed. Again, he did not have to. Tithes are paid not on possessions, but on income. The Bible says to give 10% of our increase, our gain, not 10% of what we possess. This guy liked to show off. Look at the pride of this man. He was trying to impress God about how good he was. His prayer contained no request and it drew no blessings. Jesus said he went to pray, but he should have said the man went to brag. It is sad for many people today to have prayer like this. They are bragging times. Oh, I want to pray, Lord, for the man that I have been witnessing for so long, and I have been praying for him every day, you know, Lord. That is bragging time. God knows you've been witnessing to this man, and God knows that you have been praying for this man. You don't need to inform the room of what you've been doing. It's bragging time. For this man, it was bragging time. I do. Prideful man. On verse 13, he talked about the other guy. The Lord said, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. On the other hand, in contrast to the Pharisee, we have the tax collector. Look at his attitude. Four things. Number one, he stood afar off. He was humble. He knew what he had done, He acknowledged that he was a sinner, and he had no reason to show off in front of others. And I'm sure he did not pray loud either. Number two, he did not raise his eyes to heaven. His head was bowed, feeling the guilt of his sin. Number three, he was pounding on his breast, a sign of self-accusation, acknowledgement of sin. I am a sinner. I have done it. And number four, he asked God for mercy. Truly repentant, a man truly poor in spirit. He did not go over the sins that he had not committed. He did not mention his neighbor's sins. He was too burdened with his own sin. He cried for the undeserved mercy of God. Look at the big difference between the two men. At the same place, the same time. The Pharisee thought of all others as sinners but himself. They were all off. Look at all these people. I'm not like this. On the other hand, the tax collector thought of himself alone as sinner. None of the others but himself. The first prayer request was from the widow. She wanted justice. Here we have the second prayer request in this chapter, and it is from a sinful man, and he asked for mercy. And Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, forgiven, rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. After the two men and the two prayers, we have the two results. Jesus contrasted the condition of each man as he went home. One was justified, declared righteous. His transgressions were removed as far as the east is from the west. God himself pronounced this man to be righteous. But the other man was still in his sins. He never acknowledged any of his sins. He had nothing to repent from. And he went home exactly the same way as he came in, unforgiven, still filled with pride, still self-righteous, still self-satisfied, still despising others, and still judgmental of others. He might as well have stayed home that day, because he wasted his time going to the temple. Then Jesus applied a principle to the parable. He talked about what happens to those lifted up with pride. He said their bubble will be busted and they will fall to the ground. But those who humble themselves in the sight of God will be exalted. The Pharisee in his prayer was exalting himself, and the tax collector in his prayer was humbling himself. With this story, Jesus shows what men's attitude towards prayer ought to be. Prayer is of little value if the heart has a wrong attitude. To be self-emptied and poor in spirit is the indispensable preparation for receiving the grace of God. Going to the throne of grace and asking God as if He owes us anything, boasting of what we have done and how He should reward us, is unacceptable.
From our text this morning, we learn a lot about prayer. We learn the things that make our prayers acceptable or unacceptable to the Lord. Number one, prayer should be persevering. Like the widow, we should not give up on prayer because we did not get an answer right away. All right, I'm not going to pray no more. You did not answer my prayer, I quit. We should persevere. We should have faith that perseveres to push God, to give Him deadlines, to give Him time limits is unacceptable. You have until 5 o'clock. The deadline, Lord, is tomorrow morning. You got to come up with something. Not with God. Who do we think we are? Or who do we think He is? A servant that's going to jump? We're going to move Him? He created us. We are His. Not the other way around. So prayer should be persevering. We should, even though we don't get right away, we should keep on praying to the Lord. Number two, prayer should be with faith. Had the widow at any moment believe at any time that the judge would not help her, she would have given up. She would not have gone anymore. But somehow, she believed that He would. And she kept on going to Him. Prayer without faith is unacceptable. Number three, prayer should be sincere. The Pharisee was not sincere with himself nor with God. He was comparing himself with others. He was pointing fingers at others and he was putting them down. He did not confess anything. He did not have anything to repent of. He was self-righteous, self-satisfied, and he was despising others. He went to the temple for nothing. He prayed for nothing. He wasted his time. Prayer like that is unacceptable. And number four, prayer should be humble. Had the tax collector prayed like the Pharisee, he would not have gone home justified and forgiven. But he was poor in spirit. He humbled himself and his prayer was acceptable to the Lord. Prayer is a great privilege. To be able to let our requests be made known to God, the Creator of the universe, is unbelievable that we would have such a right to come to Him. Yes, God hears every prayer request that we make, but very often the attitude of the person praying is what is unacceptable. Sometimes it is the motive of the prayer that is unacceptable. Praying for someone, but asking for a selfish reason that my life be better, be easier. I've heard people pray for that he may quit smoking, that man, it be so much easier for me. And that's wrong motive. If we come to God in prayer and asking for something to look and sound spiritual, but it is something that I want to please me, it's not acceptable. The motive is wrong. God does not play favorites. God does not love some people more than others. True prayer will be answered. True prayer will not be sent away empty. The widow's prayer was answered. She received the justice that she asked for and she went home gratified. The prayer of the tax collector was answered. He received the mercy that he asked for and he went down to his house justified. Oh, how happy is the man whose sin is forgiven. Let's learn today to persevere in our prayers, to have faith when we pray, to be sincere and humble when we pray, and not to offer God unacceptable prayers. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today and we do thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word written for us to learn from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue teaching us from your word. As we sit at your feet, open your word. May we learn, Lord, today concerning prayer. How easy it is for us to feel self-righteous, to go over those things that we do not do, to list to you those things that we do for you, as if by mentioning many things to you, you will owe us and will have to answer. Lord, may we learn that it does not work like this. May we be sincere, Lord, in our prayers. May we not compare ourselves with others. May we not be judgmental of others. May we never feel good by putting others down, comparing ourselves to them. May our hearts be right in prayer. We know, Lord, that you hear. We know, Lord, that you love us equally, not one more than the other. And you do not play favorites. So, Father, may we learn today and may we pray prayers that are acceptable to you. Change our hearts, Lord. We may come to you with a pure heart, sincere, being humble when we pray. We are nothing, Lord, in your sight. Help us that our prayers may not be unacceptable prayers to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reviewing in our minds what Jesus said today, there is really no unacceptable prayer, but an unacceptable attitude in prayer. We can ask the Lord anything, but our attitude must be right. We should come to the Lord humble, willing to yield, asking for His will. We are living in His world. He has given us life. He has redeemed us. We belong to Him. So we should not come to Him bragging about anything we have done, demanding anything that we want Him to do. He is the Master. We are the servant. The servant does not command the Master. He is the potter, we are the clay. The clay does not question the potter. So coming to God with a right, acceptable attitude, the prayer would be right and acceptable, whether he answers it or not. Our faith perseveres. We still remain close to God and come to him for everything in prayer with an acceptable attitude. So may the Lord be with you. May he pour his Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you. May he touch your heart today concerning prayer, concerning our attitude in prayer. May he make those adjustments that he sees fit to make, that our attitude may be acceptable, that our prayers may be acceptable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.